Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpiny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, 26th October 2020, and in our preview of the week, we're discussing the key themes for the FX financial markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Anna.
So what are the key themes at the start of this week for the FX financial markets?
Well, we've started with sentiment a little more fragile, and the dollar has started a bit stronger. Certainly, euro is weaker, and I think COVID is certainly back in focus more than say in previous weeks. And the figures are shocking in terms of the acceleration in the scale of new infections. The average amongst the six key European Eurozone countries that we track, plus the United Kingdom, on a seven-day average, the daily change is now 122,000 per day. So infections are surging, and that in itself, it is resulting in death rates picking up, but thankfully not like we had in March, April. But nonetheless, it is prompting governments to take action. And Spain have implemented a curfew at night. And Italy has announced bars and restaurants will close from 6 p.m. France, additional restrictions. UK, of course. So, double-dip recessions is now going to become the buzzword and the focus, because that is the risk now after the sharp bounce in Q3 that we're going to go back into GDP contractions. So that's the backdrop going into the main macro event of the week, which is the ECB meeting on Thursday. Now, this meeting doesn't coincide with an update in macroeconomic forecasts and projections that will come in December. So I think more likely than not, the ECB and President Lagarde will be more positioned for communicating more strongly to the markets the probability of additional stimulus to come, and that coming in December. Governments are now acting in terms of how they see it, protecting the health of its citizens. And that is resulting in renewed economic damage. And it's really, the ECB is compelled to act in unison. And therefore, I think the pressure will mount quite quickly on the ECB to expand the PEP QE program. Of course, PEP is specific to COVID. And it's the COVID situation that is worsening so dramatically that it makes complete sense to signal a pickup in QE under the PEP program. So, I wouldn't rule out an announcement on Thursday. It's certainly possible. It would certainly surprise the markets. There's a strong consensus that it'll just be a verbal communication. But nonetheless, given the actions taken by governments in the major Eurozone economies this weekend, we certainly can't rule out a surprise announcement on Thursday. But the markets will be happy enough with a strong communication from President Lagarde on more to come. And of course, that will be very much to the benefit of Italy and Spain. And, we have the breakdown of purchases under PEP of each country's government securities. And, at the moment, we know that I'm looking at the table here, and based on percentage of total purchases under PEP, the Italian percentage through until the end of September is 18.6% of total purchases were for Italian BTPs. And the capital key is 13.8%. So that's 4.8 percentage points more than the capital key. So Italy is the primary beneficiary of the PEP program, and that of course is good news for BTPs, which are, you know, the yields are down today on the S&P ratings announcement on Friday, being brought back to stable from negative. So that's good news for Italy. And the key point here from an FX perspective, and I've said it on these talks before, you know, we need to be mindful of QE in Europe being different than QE in America from an FX perspective. QE here is very much about solidifying the union and strengthening the kind of core versus the periphery, and diminishing fragmentation risks, and that is euro supportive, and therefore I think an announcement of an increase in PEP certainly is very unlikely to result in any euro selling, and far more important for euro dollar going forward is how the Fed is to respond in 2021, for example, to increased fiscal stimulus under a new presidency, whether it's Biden or whether it's a second term for Trump. We're going to get more fiscal stimulus, and how the Fed responds to potential upward pressure on U.S. Treasury yields is the key thing for the dollar. And we're assuming the Fed will do as much as possible and maybe increase quantitative easing in order to temper yields to the upside. So combined together, you know, we still think the actions from central banks is euro supportive, and that's why we have euro reaching 125 by the middle of 2021.
And is there anything else we should look out for as this week unfolds, Derek?
Well, of course, the other kind of main issue is the run into the election on the 3rd of November. So a week tomorrow, the election takes place. Again, polling up until about, I think it was 4 days ago, 5 days ago, to the 21st, 22nd, Trump had been closing the gap in terms of Biden's lead. It was 10.3 percentage points on the 11th of October, and that dropped to 7.5 percentage points. But in the period over the last 4 days, Biden has managed to widen his lead once again to 8 percentage points. So I think the markets are becoming that bit more confident on avoiding a long, drawn-out, contested election. If Biden holds on to that kind of lead, 8 percentage points, there's a much stronger chance that we have a clear winner, and therefore we have diminished risks of a period of turmoil and uncertainty. And I think that should help equity markets, and the prospect of what I mentioned earlier, the Fed acting to temper upward pressure on yields as new fiscal stimulus is implemented, we think is dollar negative. And I think the anticipation of that is keeping the US dollar weaker. Now, I mentioned it strengthened first thing this morning, but it's starting to reverse now already. So, you know, the backdrop for the dollar still remains negative. And I think the anticipation of a Biden victory is part of that. So how the polls play out over the next week will, of course, be important. But, you know, the positive, again, for the markets in terms of a Biden victory, you know, the early voting, looking at the Elect Project website, we have nearly 59.5 million people have voted. Mail-in ballots, 40 million, and in-person voting, 19 million. And the bulk of those are Democrats, of those that have registered for one party or the other. So, again, that's quite favourable for Biden, given the polls, as I've mentioned, show an 8 percentage point lead. And we now have over a third of the electorate who have already voted. So it's all looking pretty good for Biden, and time seems to be running out for Trump to surprise like he did in 2016.
And finally, Derek, what trade ideas are your research desk highlighting this week?
Well, again, you know, the two trades that we have at the moment are quite specific. One is UK related, and we're skeptical of. There's a bit of positive mood music at the moment, and I still think it's going to drag and go right to the wire. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get some fears reemerge into the market over a no deal scenario, and that could hit sterling. So we've continued to run a short sterling dollar position that we've had for some time. I think even beyond that, it's the macro backdrop in the UK is looking pretty bad. Fiscal deficits that are bigger than most other G10 countries, along with the largest GDP contraction and COVID picking up again. So, I just think that then with Brexit thrown in on top, the upside for the pound is, we think, pretty limited. So we're continuing to run that. And then we've also got a short Czech krona position, and we've had that for a couple of weeks again. The Czech Republic is the worst country in terms of COVID adjusted for population. I think that the drag on growth going forward will ensure that the Czech krona continues to underperform.
All right. Thanks for that insight, Derek. Have a good week and speak to you soon.
And you, Una. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.